Happy New Year to all of you out there taking in this edition of What the Football. Susie and Amy, finding you on Zoom because we are on vacation.
Yes.
We are in Utah. This guy to my right is going to do the slide in. Come on in for a little. Look, we're sharing a Zoom. This is the Chris Collinsworth slide in. There he goes. Very artful, Rich. Aim, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you both. And I really think you should snuggle up a little bit more. You're in Utah. It's cold there, isn't it?
It is.
It's not warm, but it's great. We have a live studio audience made up of Halo and Dylan under the table.
You're our dog.
I think it has to do with Rich's half-eaten breakfast sandwich that I got him earlier. I don't think that they care that much about What the Football, but we do.
I do. They care. They care. They care.
Yeah, they do care. We're going to give Rich a quick second to be excited about his team, Michigan.
Yes.
Beating Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Yes, in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Amy, I don't know. You've had many championships and victories and moments. I don't know what can compare to winning the ReliaQuest Bowl. That you could recount from your illustrious career of winning, but I can't believe this 2024 season or calendar year. It started January 1st, 2024, and ended December 31st, 2024, with Michigan winning bowl games against Alabama. I didn't see it coming, but it's awesome. I'm sky high right now, literally. The game just ended.
Not literally, but
that's true. Yeah, that's right. But
that would be a whole different podcast.
You know, Rich, as to your comment about the bowl games and such,
yes.
Thank you very much. It was just recently pointed out to me that I don't think Cal has been to the Rose Bowl in my lifetime.
Wow. But they've been to bowl games, though. Cal's been to bowl games. They've been to bowl games.
Oh, you could count them on one hand, maybe, and have fingers to spare, but I love my Bears. I love my Cal Bears.
They're not great bowl games, but also, that with the pecking order of bowl games, like you can go to the, thanks for making me a sandwich bowl. And you're sitting here thinking like, why the hell am I flying here? And the families are going everywhere. I mean, I will say that it used to be on ABC when we get slotted our bowls, people got real testy about what bowl that they were given, how many bowls you got, where the locations were. If you got one, this is about dating myself.
You got one in Hawaii. Yes. You got one in Hawaii.
Yeah. I did the Omaha Bowl and then had to take a red eye to was that the Houston Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean, and that was the year my crew was pissed because we'd done a BCS bowl game. It's hard to go from BCS to Houston. No offense, Houston, but Well, every offense. I mean, you want to be.
You could just keep offending everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
One sec about bowl games. It's my rule that I will never, ever, ever mention on our podcast the name of a company if that company doesn't sponsor us, because why would we give them free advertising, right? Well, I'm going to break my rule right now and say, how in the world was I not invited to do sideline reporting or something on the sideline of the Pop-Tart Bowl because they decorated the entire sideline with sprinkles. Am I not the perfect spokesperson for that?
Now, if it were the ice cream bowl, which by the way, like when are we going to get the Haagen-Dazs bowl? I would volunteer to go.
That would be good.
That would be good for you, Aim. The Pop-Tart bowl. Is there really a Pop-Tart
bowl? Susie, you need to see this because
they had sprinkles.
Yes. It's not just that. Whoever is in charge of the media or the game operations or any part of the public relations or the concepts, whoever's conceiving this deserves a raise because the trophy is in fact a toaster. And I do believe
a workable working toaster.
And I believe that the mascot, it pops up out of a toaster. I do believe also, I may be wrong, but, and I'm glad that you're on camera for this right now. I do believe they have the sideline reporter in tinfoil wrapped up like a Pop-Tart. That is, I do believe.
What?
Everything Rich said about how wonderfully they do the game is true, with one exception. Any yes. bowl game that has sprinkles on the sideline and does not have me there is missing an opportunity.
Well, that's number one.
Let's make
number
it. Two, there should be an eye on Amy or Trask. I love that.
Number but, two, I have to say that if my employer said to me, yes. "I'm going to do a game, we're going to ask you to wear tinfoil," and I don't mean like the Kurt Warner puffy jacket in silver, or the one that Jamie Erdahl wore, which is a matching one for Rich's game the other night with the Rams game.
Yeah, there you go. It's, his name is Cole Kubelek, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they put him in, not tinfoil, an actual Pop-Tart uniform.
I mean, never in a million years.
I'm showing this to Susie right now. Offline right now.
Yeah. But oh wait, I should by the way say Cardinals Rams games, because I don't want to make it sound like you're a total homer.
No, I got it.
Like, Rich loves the Rams. It's like he's just calling a game.
I'm calling a game.
Anyway,
raise your hand if you want to see Susie dressed like a Pop Tart.
If our kids were in the room right now, they would. I would have been a fly on the wall to have producer come up to you and say, here's the deal. We're going to have you dress as a Pop-Tart for the sideline.
Get the fuck out. I will do nothing of the sort, you jackass. That's what I would say. I won't even give our kids a Pop-Tart. We had them.
Oh, my gosh.
When I was little.
All right. What are we talking about?
Clearly,
what
football your are? Children need legal yes. representation, and I shall serve as their counsel.
Atta girl.
Thank you, Aim. Wonderful. Aim, we talked about doing a couple New Year's resolutions for some teams. Before we do that, can I ask you a question? I was just reading about some of the different calls, Rich. And I guess we could talk about your game, too. But I was just curious about...
We could if you want. I mean, you know, I was there. It was a pretty big football game. It involved the now NFC West, freshly minted NFC West champion Los Angeles Rams. But please, the... Floor's right. I'm just the guest. Go ahead. Go ahead. What else?
Before we do that, we'll turn to you in a second because, you know.
Whatever.
There's an I in Rich and an Eisen. Okay. And so anyway, I was reading about Nick Sirianni trying to figure out whether he's going to let Saquon Barkley go for a record. And then you look at Josh Allen, who's going to start and then sit. Can you imagine, like, how do you say to a player, no, I'm going to keep Eric Dickerson's record from you? Or was it all-time rushing yards?
It's not what he's saying.
No, he's still deciding whether or not he's going to let him play.
Well, I mean,
he's going to play, right?
No way. He shouldn't play.
Sit him?
Amy Trask.
What if he gets hurt?
Amy Trask, exactly
going
right.
For a record. It's different than Josh Allen starting and then sitting.
Sirianni said today on the recording of this pod, Amy, that he was going to speak to everyone in the organization, Howie Roseman and the, you know, the owner of the team and everything like that. Did that ever happen with you when you were in a front office and this would just go straight up to Al? Like, what would happen for this sort of thing?
I had conversations with Al a lot about players. Do you protect them? Do you not protect them? It's not only an issue in bowl, you know, when you're heading toward, here we're talking about the Pop-Tarts bowl. I'm still fixated on Pop-Tarts. It's not only an issue when a team is heading to the playoffs, as is the case with Philadelphia and making the decision about Barkley, it's a decision in the preseason. It's a decision in training camp. Do you play someone or do you keep them from potentially getting injured? And I remember having discussions with Al where I would say, Al, you cannot put them in bubble wrap. And then we had a horrible injury. And I said, you know, about that bubble wrap idea, it's not so bad, but it is absolutely a balancing between allowing him to have the opportunity to break that record and make a new record. But you can lose a player on any down, on any snap. So do you put Barkley's interests ahead possibly of the team's? It's a tough balancing. And I did have these discussions with Al a lot, and I respected about him that he looked at it from both perspectives. The player's perspective as well as the team's perspective. That team is not the same team in the playoffs without Barkley. God forbid something should happen, which it can on any down.
And I know that you would say, Rich, I'm sure that you would say, what's more important, going for Super Bowl or an individual title or an individual award, accolade, what have you, record?
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes. Like, there's no doubt. Saquon Barkley should have played his, as far as I'm concerned, he's played his last snap of the regular season. It's over. He got his 2,000 yards. He's got his 2,000 yards. He got his 16 full games in. He's an offensive player of the year. If not, I think going away, he's the offensive player of the year. And I know Ja'Marr Chase is out there. Brock Bowers is out there. There have been some incredible offensive achievements. A 2,000-yard season for Saquon Barkley. He's already vanquished the Giants. I know that's the Giants again, and he could break Eric Dickerson's record in front of the Giants. And that is great headline fodder. It's great fodder for, you know, this show. It's a great fodder for any of the shows that we put out, any shows that go out there. But when it comes down to it, you need to beat the Detroit Lions or the Minnesota Vikings or anybody that's put in front of you. And with the Vikings and with the Lions, there are some serious offensive challenges for your defense, and you may need to go point for point with that team. And the conversation, I would rather it be, hey, Saquon missed on his opportunity. Isn't that a shame? Rather than, hey, the Eagles didn't make the Super Bowl because Saquon was nursing an ankle or a knee or anything like that. And I understand that, you know, life is always full of risks and you can get hurt just crossing the street. Get out of here with this nonsense. He's got his 2,000 yards and that's it. It's
all by the way, every time he says get out of here, doesn't that sound like Al Michaels? Like, get out of here with that.
Yeah, I'm happy to be compared to Al.
And you know, Rich, I'll add one thing to what you said. Earlier in the season, when the coach turned to Saquon on the sideline and offered him an opportunity to go back into a game to set a particular record in that game, Saquon said, no, let the younger guys, let the other guys have an opportunity. And the reason I share that is it strikes me that Saquon is interested in doing what is best for the team, not what is best for Saquon. And, you know, to your point about facing other teams with terrific offenses, the best thing they can do is keep those offenses off the field. And the best way to keep those other offenses off the field is to run that ball a whole lot in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only hole in that theory would be that Saquon, when he runs it, he sometimes runs it into the end zone and puts his defense back on the field anyway. But that's called a champagne problem, you know, like that's a first class problem. And so I know this is going to be discussed throughout the week, all the way up until kickoff. I honestly think everybody should rest for the Eagles. Create your own bye week. You're not going to get the bye week. That's going to belong to Detroit or Minnesota. Create your own damn bye week and come back healthy, because you're going to have to start the wild card playoff weekend at home against potentially the Green Bay Packers or the Washington Commanders. And I guess that's a question I'll have for you here, Amy, is who would you rather play, one of those teams that you know has some playoff experience and is really stout, and that's the Green Bay Packers, or would you rather face a team for the third time and a rookie quarterback? There's some pros and cons of all of those things, right? There
are pros and cons. If you're facing the team that's in your division, you know that team well, but guess what? That team knows you well, too. And again, these are discussions. I loved having these theoretical discussions with Al, sitting in the room with Al, with Bill Walsh, with other football people. I would rather face a non-divisional rival. But there's no right or wrong to it. You got to face who you got to face, and there's pros and cons to both.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. We can help you save on the right oil for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Castrol Edge Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $35.99. Visit one of our 6,000 stores or order from AutoZone.com for same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says weird. It is ruined by a proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this.
I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
What do you think about where the Vikings stand right now as we look at?
It's so exciting.
It really is crazy.
Oh my God. It's so exciting. I just love everything about it. And I, you know, got a chance to be around the team for a couple of days in London in week five, and you could just sense the excitement in how the team was building and how the coach is just so smart and he's so in tune to what his players want. He knows exactly what buttons to push. But at the time, Darnold was still kind of feeling out the place. He'd only five starts. He won them all. Now you take a look at him. I mean, that video this week, I don't know if Mike Hoskins can call it up or not, but the video of Sam Darnold coming into the locker room after a career best. Look at that picture right there of him being hoisted on the shoulders of his teammates, mm-hmm. and him having this moment where they were waiting for him, a career best 377 yards and sweeping the Packers and putting the Vikings in position to win the conference in the regular season. And this is a guy who we all know how he was drafted, two spots behind Baker Mayfield, and now being in a position with the Vikings to do what Baker Mayfield did, which is to use a situation where the Bucs needed him after Tom Brady retired, and they made that opportunity for a team that was ready-made for the playoffs. He stepped in, and he took him to the playoffs and got a big, fat contract for him and his family. And now Darnold is in that position, and the crazy thing is that they were drafted two spots apart. They were teammates in Carolina when they were both dealing with the vagaries of being in the wrong spots after being drafted so high. And the fact that he is now in this spot, in this position for a Vikings team that went 5-0, lost two in a row in a span of 5 days, and then haven't lost since, and he's now feeling it, I can't wait for this last game. It's great. And they can win the Super Bowl. They can absolutely win this game and the Super Bowl.
Rich, I got goosebumps listening to you share that, because the thing I love about the Darnold story is this, and it's a message for kids everywhere. Heck, it's a message for adults too. Even if you fail in multiple opportunities, you can still succeed. And I stated that far more poorly than you just did, Rich. But the point is, Darnold didn't succeed in his first opportunities in the NFL, and he is succeeding like hell right now. And it's just a good message. You may not get it done in your first spot. You may not get it done in your second spot. You may not get it done in your third spot. That doesn't mean you can't get it done. I love the Sam Darnold story. And by the way, Susie, we had Jamie Erdahl on. Guess what? Minnesota has not lost since she rang that bell that I can't pronounce the name, the whatever it's called.
Remember, the Jollihorn. Yeah, it's not a bell. You blow the Jollihorn.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, it was a great episode with Jamie.
They have not. Yeah, go back and listen. Jamie Erdahl is terrific. Just ask the Vikings. They haven't lost since she, didn't ring a bell, blew a horn.
Yes, yes. And the interesting thing is, if the Lions, with their quarterback that has taken most of his new opportunity, or Cal Bear and Jared Goff, if the Lions beat the Vikings, it's entirely possible that Sam Darnold would have to visit Baker Mayfield. And that will be a storyline that you'll see all week long leading up to that playoff game, is the shot of the two of them in Carolina together for an interim head coach. I mean, Matt Rhule got fired. It was a brutal place for a quarterback that was drafted either first or third overall to find themselves in, and both of them trying to compete for the one job that can get them the opportunity. And Baker wound up having to go to Los Angeles. The Rams had him there for a brief bit. If you remember, that was that game where on a Thursday night, he showed up on a Wednesday, got in the playbook, and actually won a football game, and then wound to Tampa, and look at him now. Sam Darnold went to San Francisco and backed up Brock Purdy and was handed a mop on Christmas night 2023, just about a year ago, against Baltimore, and he performed well enough that I think he put himself on a radar screen in some places, and look at him now, which is, you know, again, I don't know where you guys want to go next in this conversation, which is why when you're looking at the playoff possibilities for this week and, well, Denver's taking on the backups of Kansas City, I guarantee you Carson Wentz is looking at what Baker Mayfield has done and what Sam Darnold has done, and Carson Wentz is like, I am going to beat the Denver Broncos and show everybody and put it on film.
Yeah.
I can be next.
No, I mean, so much of the season is this. It's the conversation is either how well these rookies are playing and surprising people by how great they look and how poised they look, and some of these newly resurgent quarterbacks that are in their third, fourth spot that are trying to make a name for themselves yet again.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson going for his third MVP and Josh Allen trying to get his first MVP. And when it all comes down to it, Mahomes might just say, you know, I'm still here. You know, like great storylines, everybody, but here's my third one in a row. You know, like it's crazy, you know?
Susie and Rich, I'm glad you mentioned Darnold and Mayfield, and I'm going to touch back on that for a minute. The reason those storylines resonate with me the way they do, and I don't know that I've shared this with you, maybe I have. My sixth grade teacher told my mom that, yeah, your older two children are very, very smart. This one, meaning me, is not. And he told my mom that I would never get into college. So it resonates with me when people who either don't succeed initially or are told you're never going to succeed do. So I'm thrilled for Sam. I'm thrilled for Baker. And if my sixth grade teacher was still alive, which I'm sure he's not, yeah, I got into college.
By the way, she did just fine. I like these stories anyway. I mean, I always found them much more interesting when you're sitting there trying to tell a story from a game about these quarterbacks who have to come from behind and play themselves a new opportunity and a new name for themselves, what have you. It's a lot easier to cover a quarterback like Tom Brady, although we can't forget that he did have the rough start at Michigan when he was trying out.
And he put that chip on his shoulder, and he still does probably in the broadcast.
He'll always have a chip on his shoulder. But those years playing in Michigan, playing number two, really burned the Y into his chest, and he learned how to come back from that. But that's what makes this season interesting as we look at the playoffs, which I'm going to make a spin to the playoffs from there. And
wait. Before you do, I just want to note that you always, always, always delivered sideline stories magnificently. And yes, I said magnificently, but she didn't do it in a fucking Pop-Tart outfit.
By the way, nor did I ever do it as, hey guys, last night the team got together. They braided each other's hair in a sign of solidarity. Guys, this team is really bonding. Back to you. So much fun to just go back into the sideline voice. Anyway,
no fucking Pop-Tart outfit for Susie.
No fucking. Can you imagine they say to me, you're going to wear a fucking Pop-Tart? I'm out of your mind.
If they said that to you, I would want to be there.
What if it was a Prada Pop-Tart?
Honest to God, you couldn't pay me enough to put on a Prada Pop-Tart. I would be like, no. Yourself, San Diego.
The Pop-Tart Wears Prada is a great movie.
That's your next fantasy. Can we talk football, Rich? I'm sorry, you're talking Prada. I'm trying to talk about the playoffs.
Go ahead.
Playoffs.
Go ahead. Transition.
Playoffs.
What do you want to transition to?
And now.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me sad for a second. I thought of Bryant, then I thought of Greg Gumbel.
Right.
Greg Gumbel this week. All right, I got distracted. So let's...
Playoffs.
Feedback podcast of all time. I was going to talk about.
You were about to transition to the playoffs. We could do all that. I got a question.
Really quick. What are we not talking about?
I know exactly what we're not talking about.
Because I feel like,
I know too.
One thing Amy and I try to be careful about is not just constantly going to the New York teams.
No, I've got one. I've got one. I've got one for you.
So I think Dylan has to go out.
I've got one for you. No, she's been staring out the window at birds and squirrels literally for the last hour. So let me ask you this question, Amy Trask. The Raiders have won two in a row. Okay. They're now eighth on the clock.
Should they get a new coach?
Well, they got to make a lot of decisions here. And again, I know you're not in the, you know, the front office anymore, and you haven't been for a while. I get it. I understand that. But you are still the Raiders avatar, certainly of our production at the you are in many people's minds as well. Brady's sitting there. You're eighth overall. You got Cam Ward. You got Shedeur Sanders. But you also have a ton of quarterback needy teams that are right there in front of you in the draft order that you sat two in before winning these two in a row. I mean, I had Deion Sanders on our show a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, "Yeah, for my son, Giants or Raiders." Well, right now it's more potentially Titans or Browns if they want to go in that direction. What do you think the Raiders are going to do? What do you think they should do? And do you think, I know I'm asking multiple questions at once, Tom Brady is going to really drive this bus? Do you think that?
Okay, I'm going to answer your question, but I just have to tell you a quick anecdote about asking too many questions at once. When the league sued the Raiders, I was a witness. Well, I was a witness in all those cases when they sued us. And my very, very first time on the witness stand, the lawyer for the NFL comes up and says, "I'd like to ask you a question." And my first thought is, yeah, what the fuck? I'm on the witness stand. Of course you're going to ask me a question. And then he proceeded to ask me a compound question, two questions. So without thinking, I said, "Well, you just asked me two questions." And the judge took the gavel and hit the stand and said, "Objection sustained." I have only made one objection in my life. I was the witness. And it was sustained. And Al was in the front row with my husband. And the two of them are laughing so hard. And I'm sitting in the witness stand like this. Because I said, "That's two questions." And the judge sustained my objection. I'm one for one with objections.
And any story you start with, "Well, we were suing the league." The league was
suing you.
I can't keep track. I couldn't keep track all these years of who was suing
who. I just want you to know, and then I'm going to answer your question about the Raiders. I am like a seven-year-old, and whenever anyone says we sued the league, I say, "Oh, no, no, they sued us first. Mom, they started it." Okay.
Nice.
This is like asking her about the tech rule.
Look out. Okay. So what do you think?
I think there's a lot of big decisions to make. Do they want to stick with Antonio Pierce as head coach? And I see reason to do it. They may or may not want to. What do they want to do at quarterback? And Rich, you raise a great question. There are two quarterbacks, you identify them, that are perceived at the top of the draft. What do they do? Do they value those quarterbacks, one of those, both of those, more than they might value draft picks? Because they're at eight right now, I believe.
Yep.
Possibly to get one of those quarterbacks, they would have to trade some capital to move up. Do they view either of those quarterbacks as good enough to trade capital? And might they want to get capital from others that want to trade up? But I think a big, big decision rests on whether they keep Antonio or not. And one thing you can say about this team, notwithstanding their record, they play hard every single down. They are playing harder than a lot of teams with poor records. So I think that's the first decision they have to make is as to head coach.
Why wouldn't Tom Brady say, "Thank you for your time, Antonio. We're going to bring in Mike Vrabel. We're going to bring in somebody I played with, somebody that I like."
That's the conventional wisdom.
Vrabel
sitting out there, and he's the type of guy that Brady would. But the question is how much say does Brady have? Like, is he?
Oh my God, who doesn't listen to Tom Brady?
I mean, it's one thing about listening to him. One thing that.
Thanks very much for taking this edition.
Ladies and gentlemen, Amy friggin' Trask. Yeah, I mean, but the question is you can listen to him, but do you give him the keys to the car? Like, say, "Okay, you're driving the bus and we'll do whatever you think, Tom."
Well,
is that what it's going to be?
Like great Patriots coaches in the past, is he going to, if he wants to, you know, be the cook, isn't he going to shop for the groceries?
Well, I mean, you know, they got Tom Telesco for that, but I don't think they'd hand the entire store off to him like that, but just to basically say, "Tom, you know locker rooms, you know quarterbacks, you know what works. Do we bounce the coach and can you get Vrabel?" Like, you know, because Vrabel's going to, I don't know, the Patriots might realize that their first year with Gerard Mayo.
They should have brought in Vrabel earlier.
Okay, but here's my hunch and here's my view. My view is they absolutely positively should factor in everything Brady has to say for the reasons you just said. Tom Brady, I mean, look at his resume, look at his history. The man knows how to win. So, of course, they should factor in what he has to say. But my hunch is, my view is, my belief is, however you want to call it, it'll be a collaborative decision. They will take Tom's input, of course, and they should. but they will listen to others as well. And I believe they will make a collaborative decision. I have no idea what that decision will be. Last year, they made the decision to retain Antonio, who had been the interim coach. They retained him as a full-time head coach because they viewed it that they erred when they didn't do that a couple years prior. I don't know what they'll do this year, but I do know that team is playing very, very hard for Antonio.
Yeah, I know the fact that Rich Bisaccia did well and then they didn't keep him and then they went with McDaniels, who we all know didn't work out there to their desires.
I'm sorry, where has he worked out?
No, I hear you. And then, you know, but Max Crosby also said, I don't want to be a Raider if we're not hiring this guy on his podcast. And that's a pretty large chit.
I think you do have to take into consideration who the players are, who the leaders of the team are. Obviously, you know that Max is one of the leaders of the team, and he may hold himself in such a regard that he's not concerned about what Brady has to say. He might just say, like, look, if you want me, here's what you have.
Well, that was last year. I don't know if he feels that way now either. You know,
let's get him on the show. Let's reach out.
I mean, Max is he's always been
a podcast friendly.
He's got his own, and that's where he said it on his own pod. Like, you know, this guy should be the next head coach. But it's just it's amazing how this entire conversation could be moot because the Raiders lose, a bunch of other teams win, and they're that much closer to getting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. You know, and you know, Pierce is tight with Deion, and I think that would be a spot that Deion wouldn't mind his kid going to. And I don't know how much Deion can control the draft, but he will try. He will try.
He will whatever the hell he wants.
He will absolutely try if he thinks that the spot that his kid might wind up in isn't right. He will make some calls. He will use his bully pulpit. He will do stuff.
Last time since Eli Manning didn't want to go to
hasn't happened. That's it.
That's the last time. Are we seeing a shift, do you think? Or do you think this is an anomaly because it's Deion
and his kid? It's an anomaly because it's Deion and his kid. And Travis Hunter is another one of his kids. And he came on the show a couple weeks ago and said, if you as an organization do not think Travis Hunter can play both offense and defense, then don't draft him. And if you do and you feel that way, he's still got a year of eligibility left.
Yeah, I so don't want to talk Patriots because I feel like I do that too much. But Cooper was really excited, Amy, about the thought that Drake May could be traded for Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders to New England. I was like, are you out of your mind?
I heard
that
too.
From?
Television.
Oh, it's not good.
The wrong show, though. I don't know why we let him watch those shows.
Susie, I have a question for Susie. What do you think New England should do with respect to their head coach? They've got a first-year head coach.
What the hell are we waiting for? This is dumb. Let's get him back.
I thought you were saying that in your Boston accent.
I never had one.
Oh, you have him.
All right, Amy, this is what I would say, right?
Oh, she's taking her glasses off.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing? Like, bring back Mike Vrabel. Go get him a Dunkies and a Lodge one and move him back to Weymouth or Worcester or somewhere over there. And just bring him back to 95 South. Make him go to some games. That's the best I can do.
Well done, ladies and gentlemen. How about them apples?
Hey, Mike Vrabel, if you're out there watching, we want you to come back. Your shirt's in the Ring of Honor. Is that better?
Yeah, he did get the red jacket. Yep. That's apparently what pissed off the Titans to fire him.
Coop's got to be did that. So, are you still in your pajamas?
All right, Suze, let's finish this podcast.
I've been sitting there for 5 hours watching Rich's show and...
Michigan
updates. Okay. Right. Ames, how much time how long have we been going for? Half hour?
Yeah.
Okay. So before we hit our New Year's resolutions for a couple teams, Rich, we'll throw you this. We'll throw you this one.
Okay.
Just in your experience, having watched this Cardinals Rams game.
Yes.
What are you laughing at?
You said you didn't want to bring it up and now you're bringing it up.
That you did.
Okay. What do you want? What do you want to know?
I'm throwing you a bone.
Okay.
Hey, throw Rich, me a freaking bone. Freaking bone.
Yeah.
I'm going to just interject. Rich, and look, you know I only say what I mean, and I always mean what I say. I love it when you broadcast games.
Yeah, you sent a beautiful note to me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you're very good. And I'm not shy about using the mute button with some other broadcast teams. And my husband always says, I run so fast for the mute button, Al would sign me to play corner. I've never, ever, ever muted you. I never will.
That's nice.
Thank you.
I muted him on a regular basis.
You would love to do that right now, I think. Yeah, right.
Hey, so let's ask you this. Since you just saw the Rams, yes. And you just saw how they play, yes. And you just saw that incredible interception in the last seconds of the game.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the Rams have what it takes to keep going, or do you believe this was
I certainly do. That you could make
it. Not everybody can win, though.
You could make the case that this offense is better than the one that won the Super Bowl. Mm. You know, when they had Sony Michel and CJ Anderson at running back, Kyren Williams is one of the best productive from scrimmage, catching it, running it, running backs, bell cow, blocks on third down, picks up blitzes. He's all of that in a biscuit. And I understand, you know, with Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham and the receiving core that they have there, Puka Nacua is an absolute revelation. And Stafford is just as good now as he was then. The defense is far less veteran. Aaron Donald is not there. They have a bunch of young studs, first and second year players that are terrific. And they have won in many different styles. They've won a boat race. A track meet game, a 44-42 victory over the Bills. And since then, though, the offense has completely dried up, but they've won three in a row since then for a 5-game win streak because their defense has shown up, having given up 6 to the 49ers and then 9 to the Jets and the Cardinals after that. You can easily do the math right there. And that's, you know, 24 points that they've given up since giving up 42. So they've won in many different manners of football. And now comes a home date against maybe Washington and Jaden Daniels, maybe Green Bay, which was a team that beat them in week 5 to send them to 1-4. And after that, though, they've gotten healthier and they're a totally different team, having won 9 of 11. But they can catch fire. They aren't going to Detroit to start the playoff season and then losing to a team that felt destined. They're home. And I absolutely think they can put together a run. I think they should, if they face Washington, beat Washington. That is a team that is in their first opportunity in the playoffs. The Rams are far more tested when it comes to that. And then if they win that, they might wind up in Philadelphia. Or if somehow the Packers beat Philly and maybe the Vikings or the Lions beat the Bucks, it's possible the Rams host a second game at home, just what happened to the Lions last year is the mm-hmm. 3 seed. They wound up hosting another game in the divisional round and then made it to the NFC Championship game. It's entirely possible that the Rams wind up in Detroit for an NFC Championship game, which would raise the stakes from last year's wild card and this year's season opener on a Sunday night to a totally different level. So that's what I just don't know if the offense is sputtering and will have problems in the playoffs, or they are just playing, defensive teams like the Niners and the Cardinals, who know them, or the Jets, who are, you know, when they are showing up, waking up competent, do have some defensive players that can beat a Los Angeles team that's playing in 10-degree weather in an early window game traveling across the country. I don't know which one it is, but the fact that we're going to see it in the playoffs is exciting.
You know, Rich, you mentioned Aaron Donald and the loss of Aaron Donald. Yes. Someone, I don't want to name names, but someone on CBS Sports at the beginning of the season, rhymes with Shmamey, named Jared Verse as Defensive Rookie of the Year. And my point on referencing what the person whose name rhymes with Shmamey said is that, yes, they lost Aaron Donald, but they made some very, very good draft decisions on defense.
Well, that's less need for you.
Well, I mean,
great decisions.
Right. It's the two guys from Florida State, too. It's Braden Fisk as well. Mm-hmm. They are young and they are really fast. And they're that defense is playing particularly well lately. So, you know, what were you going to ask me? It seems like you're wrapping up this.
I'm trying to wrap up this podcast.
Okay, sounds good.
So we can get out in the beautiful Utah snow here.
Okay.
And Amy can probably go to the beach, right?
Yeah, and the Rich Eisen Show crew can get back to their day.
What is your single greatest New Year's resolution? You are now the genie of all NFL, what would you do to change or to put out a resolution out there on behalf of a team and what they should be doing?
Oh, up on behalf of a team.
Mm-hmm. My New Year's resolution is for the Jets to clean house.
Look at you.
And the experiment.
They've already cleaned. What more houses to clean?
Clean out the quarterback.
I see what you're saying.
Clean out the quarterback, clean house, bring in somebody to rebuild this program.
I don't know who that is.
I mean, I don't think it's Rex Ryan. He's saying it's himself. I mean, are you kidding? I don't think so. Oh, I think Vrabel's the one wearing the prettiest dress right now. He's going to get discussed for every single opening.
I think Rex getting an interview with Woody Johnson is just, one of the individuals who's been hired to help with the search is Mike Tannenbaum, who was the guy who was running the Jets and the front office when Rex was grounding and pounding and Tannenbaum was putting everything on the credit card. And then those day bills came due and it all came crashing down. So, I'm sure Woody, likes Rex enough. Like, hey, he wants an interview. Sure, I'll give it to him. But I don't know if that's the guy.
That's not a job.
There's a big difference. I've been in such a good mood for the last few hours. I don't want to talk about the Jets.
Okay, well, that was my resolution.
Okay, I love your resolution.
What's
your resolution, Amy?
I'm thinking, but before I give a resolution, because I'm really kind of stumped, I do want you to know that in honor of it being New Year's Eve and how much I love you both, I'm very fancy, and that's why I'm wearing my pearls. A resolution. Do Rich first. I'm still thinking.
Right. What's your resolution?
My resolution will be for Team NFL. I want to see the instant replay system. I do. I want to see it expanded. I want to see more placed under this replay assist. If we can see it at home and it's so damn obvious, it shouldn't matter. Well, that's reviewable. That's not. We can't make that reviewable because we want the officials to be deciding. I understand it needs to be codified so everyone can understand it and it could be uniformly executed during the games. But I want to see if there's a flag thrown on the field, I want to see it being reviewed and see if it can get picked up. That's what I want to see. I understand that the officials are trying to call it the way they see it in real time. If we can help, it should be used to help and get things right. Period. End of story.
Well, you always say that if I can see it on TV, that there's no excuse for. But I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. What would be fascinating is just to GoPro all of these refs to see from their perspective what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, when I've had to go ask questions of the refs in the middle of a game, I always get the impression that everything is happening. And it's their job. It is their job. But the perspective is so intense. And every so often you'll see one of the refs just get absolutely pummeled by a defender every so often. Yeah. And the whole crowd goes crazy. But I think it is probably one of the toughest jobs you can possibly ask for.
Did we dance long enough for you to come up with yours, Amy?
Yeah, Susie, I don't think. They'll never do what you just suggested, which is GoPro the officials. But that is a brilliant idea. Can you imagine if fans could see from the ref's perspective or from the official's perspective, back judge, side judge, whatever it is, how fast things are moving, how large everyone is, how difficult it is to often see things. Now, they're not going to do that because then people will see errors, they'll second guess. But your idea is phenomenal. That would make a great movie, too.
I have a lot of those.
The biggest drawback would be if the GoPro doesn't work and the crew still shows it on TV and it's just one big black frame and we'll just say, it confirms that these refs are blind. That would be a problem.
Okay, I have a resolution. I have a resolution for the league as a whole. I do understand why games are flexed. Of course, I understand so many millions and millions and millions and bazillions of people are watching on television or watching on streaming services. I understand why games are flexed, but I will share with you something now that I've shared during my years in league meetings. When games are flexed, fans who had purchased tickets to those games need to be cared for in some manner. Look, there are people who fly to locations to go to a game. They may not have refundable tickets. I'm not going to go into every single nuance, but maybe you don't have refundable plane tickets. Maybe you can't get a hotel reservation. Maybe you can't take a day off work. Maybe you can't get your kids out of school. There's all kinds of reasons why fans who have purchased tickets to a game that is flexed may have costs actual hard costs, and or simply the sadness of not being able to attend the game that they plan to attend with family or friends. The league has got to find a way to care for fans who have purchased tickets to a game that's flexed.
Well said. Like well done.
That. Really well put. Really that's, well put.
Good chat, ladies.
I think we'll get a different guest next week. You've seen a lot of Rich, right? No,
well, yeah. I think
I love when Rich is our guest. And I wore pearls for you. And Rich, I love that when you mentioned the Lions, I did not have to say, where did Goff go to school? You mentioned that on your own. I would hug you if I was with you.
Happy New Year, Amy Trask.
Always happy.
Happy New Year to you both and to your family. Happy New Year.
This was a great way to share a Zoom square. This is like Rich's favorite thing, like to be like the center in the square, right? Was it?
Yeah, We're like the Brady Bunch. Remember the squares?
Exactly. Just point wherever you want.
True. All right, we're going to let the dogs up proverbially and actually figuratively and literally.
Are you
wishing
sing it?
All of you? Huh?
No.
Are you going to sing Who Let the Dogs Out?
No.
I was just going to wish everybody who listens to this show an incredibly happy new year, wishing you all the best for the upcoming fantastic start we're going to have, and AIM sending you lots of love. Thanks for all of you who are listening, watching on YouTube, Mike Hoskins and to Don Bowie. And
Del Tufo, make this sound great too. May everyone's Pop-Tarts be properly tapered.
Oh, and may we all see Susie in a Pop-Tart costume.
Never in your own fucking life ever am I gonna be.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Love to all.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.